Medical examiner and coroner offices play a critical role in communities as they help to identify causes of death.
But according to a recent report by the National Institute of Justice, more than 2,000 of these offices around the country struggle with chronic funding issues, staff shortages, and outdated equipment.
To look at how this issue is affecting our state, we turn to the president of the Wisconsin Coroners and Medical Examiners Association.
Crystal Schaub is chief medical examiner for Oneida, Vilas, and Forest counties in the northernmost parts of Wisconsin. Crystal, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
There's this chronic shortage of staff and funding in medical examiner and coroner offices around the country. Are you having to rely on coroner offices around you if you need help, or what are the protocols?
Well, we don't have people lined up at the doors wanting to do this particular job. And I don't know if it's the fear behind dead bodies or, you know, I don't know what that stigma is there. You have to be a special kind of person to work in this field. You're called out late at nights. You could be stuck on a scene for hours, middle of the woods. It's cold. It's wet. It's just really kind of miserable conditions out there. So I do understand that. We do feel the pressure somewhat up here. Out of the 72 counties that we have in Wisconsin, they're all feeling the pressure of lack of staff for the same reason. We do have mutual aid agreements with all of our surrounding counties and as far down as even Marathon County. And we've had a couple of times, not many, but just a couple that surrounding agencies have asked us for help because they're short-staffed as well. We thankfully have never had to ask for that mutual aid agreement because we've had staff that was readily available to go help with those calls. But people really just don't want to do this job.
What is the toll on you in this job, and what was your pathway into it?
I have 18 years of prior law enforcement experience, and I was just ready to just find a different path in life. And I did a lot of death investigations when I was part of the patrol units, and I had a conversation with the past medical examiner. I had asked him how I could do his job. You know, would you hire me? I'm really interested in this field. And, you know, I like the puzzle work. And so he hired me part-time. And then officially January of 2019, I took over as the chief medical examiner. So I don't have any medical background. Everything that I learned was on-the-job training. I send my staff to annual trainings, conferences, anything that I can find that's within my budget to send them to, because I feel like you're not going to get better if you don't learn, and you need to keep those skills up. And training is such an important part of our positions.
You mentioned Marathon County, which is set to revamp their medical examiner's office. They have a new building opening in 2025. It will be much more state-of-the-art, and they're recruiting a physician to be their forensic pathologist. What impact do you think that will have? Will you be able to send autopsies there in Marathon County?
Yes, absolutely. We typically do our autopsies right down at UW-Madison, the forensic pathology department. Sometimes, just depending upon how busy they are, we may use Fond du Lac. I've already talked to the chief medical examiner down there in Marathon County. And so she's been working on this program for such a long time, many years, and little bits of funding here and there. And so she's all set to move forward. And I think they have a tentative open date of July of 2025. And we're really excited for her because she could literally service the entire northern part of Wisconsin, which is quite a few counties. And then, of course, her surrounding counties. And with the lack of facilities to do the autopsies, this is a game changer for us. It would take us an hour to get there versus 3+ hours to have to drive to Madison or Fond du Lac. If we sent somebody to Madison or Fond du Lac to do the autopsy, they're out an entire day. And we don't have the staff to be able to do that anymore. So we could drive a patient down, get the autopsy done. We could even drive them down, drop them off, and come back and get them. It's going to be a huge game changer for us.
Crystal Schaub is with us, chief medical examiner for Oneida, Forest, and Vilas counties in the northernmost parts of the state as we talk about Wisconsin death investigation practices. Crystal, The publication Forensics said New Mexico is pioneering the use of CT scans to reduce autopsy numbers and to help lower costs. Is Wisconsin doing things like this to streamline death investigations and lower costs through technology?
Yes. In fact, Patty Schachner, she was a state representative for quite a few years, mm-hmm. and she saw the need. And she was able to apply for grants to get a CT scanner for her office. And so now we have this newer technology coming out. It's called Randox. So the coroner's medical examiners can apply for funding and they can get these machines that you obtain a sample, a toxicology sample from the patient, and you can run it through this machine and you get an idea of what drugs they have in their system within 20 minutes. Versus us taking a sample, sending it out to the lab, and now we're waiting on weeks to get that result back. And to have those kind of technologies available to us, you can't even put a dollar amount on that, but it comes down to funding, which a lot of us counties, we just don't have.
And that is happening in St. Croix County, where Patty Schachner is a chief medical examiner. ProPublica recently published the story saying that a sudden death of a baby in Idaho went uninvestigated, and national guidelines suggest taking investigated steps in cases like this. But Idaho state law didn't require any. What would Wisconsin have done differently in a situation like this?
So we don't critique how other people do their jobs. There are different rules. There's different laws amongst all of our states and different guidelines, of course. But I can tell you what we would have done differently based on our laws. And an infant would have went for autopsy. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That would have happened here. We would have done a full scene investigation according to our guidelines. We would have done the doll reenactment with the family, which that is a common practice for us.
What does that mean?
So a doll reenactment is when you, it basically looks like a doll. It doesn't have a face. It doesn't have genitalia, no identifying. It looks like a stuffed beanbag is what we're trying to make the families not have to relive every aspect. And if they look at a doll that's got a face, it just really hurts them. Mm-hmm. So this doll is a beanbag in the shape of a body, and we give it to the last person that was with that child. They will take the doll and show us where they were laying in bed. How was the doll laying? You know, what did they do throughout the day or the hours up to the death? And more times than any, that event that led up to that death never leaves the mind of the person that was last with them. It could be a couple hours, it could be a couple of days, it could be a couple of weeks, but we can get so many more details doing the doll reenactment because the person will be able to say, I was laying here, this is how my baby was laying. And then I got up and I put the baby over here and I covered, and they literally will relive every single action that they did. Mm-hmm. And it is so helpful from an investigative standpoint to be able to actually see them doing these actions.
Wow, that's really interesting. Are there other strategies or tactics to help you in this work to better understand how a death occurred? Because you call this work a puzzle work.
It is. Every death is a puzzle. It's up to us to figure out how and why they died. And our strategy going into every single scene is we have to treat it like it's a homicide, and then we downgrade. And that is so we don't miss anything. And we always work with law enforcement. Law enforcement is always present at the scene. We'll talk, we share notes, taking pictures. Sometimes we'll take pictures of all the rooms in the house, not just where the patient is located. We do external exam on the patient, look for any kind of signs of injury, trauma, and try to determine what happened to this person.
Hmm. You call this person a patient, although they are deceased?
Correct. This is my opinion, and I don't know how other medical examiners address their patients. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are deceased. Yes, they are a decedent. Legally, that's what their name is because they are no longer with us. If I call them deceased or a decedent to the family, they're already in so much pain. We like to call the person by their name to the family. A patient is more sterile versus dead body, deceased, deceased, that it's just so final to them and it hurts them. We have seen the reaction come from families. And I said, you know, we need to kind of relook at this.
It seems like in so many aspects of your work, you're trying to limit the trauma, contain the trauma, and be really attentive to what these families are facing in that moment.
We try. You know, every person is different. Every family is different. There's never a duplicate encounter. Everybody deals with trauma their own way. And there's a lot of people out there, you know, and I'm talking people in their 40s, 50s, 60s who have never seen a dead body, never. And this could be the most traumatic thing that has ever happened to them. And myself, I've dealt with death my whole life. I've lost lots of family members. I remember seeing dead bodies when I was a little child. You know, I lost a sibling in my home when I was 5, and I remember that. And I know that everything I say to them and everything I do to them, they're going to associate that and they're going to remember that. And we want them to go to the next phase of grief as easily as possible. And we sit with them and we talk and we listen to the stories, and the stories are just amazing and heartfelt. And I can't even really put words to the stories that the families tell us about their loved ones. That's important to them. If it's important to them, it's important to me.
I wonder, as we close, how would you like to make your mark on the Wisconsin Coroners and Medical Examiners Association in your term as president?
The simplest answer that I can come up with is unity. You know, we have such a great working relationship with all of our counties right now, and that's been going on for probably decades. And I would like to see that continue. And by keeping that unity together, you expand it. And I'm just going to tell you a story. When I first started doing this job, the chief medical examiner asked me, he said, "Why do you want to do this job?" My heart told me at that moment, the reason I wanted to do this was to shield people. And that's what we did in law enforcement. We shielded people. We keep the monsters at bay. And the citizens in the community, they don't see the monsters like we see the monsters. And when I die, I want somebody to respect me, and I want somebody to cover me up, and I want somebody to take care of me for my family. And that was what I incorporated when I first took over this office, is we need to shield these families from all the nastiness. And they already are traumatized because they lost their loved one. Let's show the patient the dignity that they deserve. And if you do it a couple of times, it becomes a habit. And now, not only are we doing it, we're seeing law enforcement doing it. Law enforcement sees how we do our job, and they will do exactly what we do. And that's the point I'm trying to make. People see what we do, and it's a habit. It becomes a habit for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Crystal, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Crystal Schwab is chief medical examiner for Oneida, Vilas, and Forest counties, and serves as president of the Wisconsin Coroners and Medical Examiners Association. We have been talking about a national shortage of staff in these offices around the country.